Welcome back to the Luck Changers podcast. They say the only sure thing about luck is that it changes, and we are here to change that for you. I am your host, Nate. Join with me, as always, my co-host, Tone.
Good evening, boys.
Welcome back, Tone, and moderator, AJ.
What up, boys?
And editor, D-Say. He is in the building on headphones, but not on mic. And we are live from the RTT, Rutledge Tavern Tapes. We are recording from AJ's spot. If you haven't yet, go ahead and check him out on Spotify. He has a really cool show on there where he interviews basically everyone in his life. And just, it's super good listen, especially if you know a few people in there. Kind of just see a little bit, learn a little bit more about AJ and all the people around him. So go ahead and check that out if you haven't yet. And we had a super interesting weekend of sports. We didn't talk about it really, but we had the NBA All-Star Weekend. Some ups, some downs. The dunk contest, but the Cavs, super entertaining skills challenge. I love what they did this year. And we had NASCAR, AJ. Mm-hmm. Man, was I pulling for you.
Yeah.
Go ahead and disclose.
Yeah, Daytona 500 was Sunday. It was pretty fun. Myself and my brother Gary, we took a couple drivers, and I did not win, but Gary did win.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
He took him?
He picked the guy that came in first. That was really fun to watch.
No way.
Yeah.
What was his odds?
On top of my head, it was something crazy. I think he put $13 on it, and he won $200.
Ooh,
very nice win, Gary.
Yeah, so it was really cool. It was fun to watch. My guy was up there till the end.
Keselowski, right?
Yeah, yep. I had a couple. So I had my cousin on the RTT Saturday the day before. And he said that was his guy, so I rolled with it. And I feel like you have to do it to make it fun, but that's the second year in a row I've watched because I've had some coin on it, and it was a good time.
We talked about it a little last year, I believe. I think it was a mini-sode that we did. And, yep. Tone, did you happen to watch any golf this weekend?
I did not, but ooh, I was following along.
Yeah.
I just didn't watch it.
So, I don't know if you guys checked. I did a little DraftKings. Mistakenly, I put a $5 contest in, and it was one of those double ups. I came in 8th out of 2,300 people.
Yikes.
I had the winner, Joaquin Niemann. So, congratulations. One of my favorite guys out there on the tour. Played, just lights out. He kind of struggled on day 4, but, Tone, I know what you did watch. You watched the All-Star Weekend. Your thoughts?
I did. It was fun. It's, you know, it's changing over the years. I think the dunk contest it's hard. They've done so many dunks over the years. And it got ridiculous. Remember the point where, like, Blake Griffin was jumping over cars, and then dude, I don't remember exactly who it was, brought out a cupcake and was, like, blowing up
the candle.
It got a little ridiculous,
yeah,
but it was still kind of fun. Now it's just no more props, but just
a lot of misses.
Underwhelming. I like the three-point contest. The skills challenge was totally different this year,
different
format, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah. And we were texting about it, and the Cavs, it was our hometown, first time they ever in it, and it was just a wild comeback after Jared Allen kind of sucked on the shooting, and then it was just fun.
Yeah, Carl Anthony Towns won the three-point contest. He had the, you know, least odds, or I guess the best odds if you won.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really cool. I took Trae Young. I thought he might get off. I lost. I did take the Cavs in the skills challenge, so it kind of canceled out and won. The All-Star game itself, love to see LeBron finishing off. He's showing these guys he's still daddy, and you love to see it.
The GOAT. But, the All-Star game definitely lived up to the hype. It saved what could have been an awful weekend as far as that dunk contest goes, because that's what everyone's looking forward to. But Tone had mentioned that everything you could do has been done, it seems like. So they're going out there trying to be Spider-Man and missing every attempt.
Yeah, it was fun. The difference between the All-Star game for NBA and the Pro Bowl between the NFL is wild. It's just totally different feel. It feels like it means something, and it's exciting, and I love the target score that they do at the end in the fourth quarter. Because the reason I never liked the All-Star game for a while is just even though it was exciting, it was almost boring because no one's playing defense. It was like, okay. So I like now, it's like the first two quarters, you can kind of freestyle. Towards the end of the third quarter, you can start to feel it get a little bit more physical. And then the fourth quarter, it's just a battle to get that target score, which I really like. It makes it feel more like a game. This is a good time.
That's a fantastic point. I think that's about, is this the second or third year they've done that? It's pretty recent.
Yeah, yep.
But that is a fantastic point. It does change the game completely.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really fun. Steph got off. Mm-hmm. My goodness. It's just, you hate to see the influence he has on these kids because 99% of people can't do that. And
right.
They still try.
Right.
But it's awesome to see him do that. Just throw it up, turn around, like
from half court almost.
What a show.
It's like effortless
yeah.
for him.
Yeah.
It was a heat check.
Half court. Sure. It's not like these are regular threes even. It's just it's a blessing to see. It's a blessing and a curse though.
I thought it was kind of funny how he was getting booed to begin with, and then yeah. the fans started catching on and just loving him again.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty cool.
I noticed it because I go to the YMCA on my lunch break, and you know, you go out to the one in Wadsworth and there's like a track above. And down mm-hmm. below, I think the Wadsworth High School kids are having gym class on a couple of the basketball courts. So, like, I'll watch when they're playing games and stuff. Kind of gives me something to do when I'm on the track. And these kids, everyone shoots threes.
Oh, no.
It's just threes and threes or inside. Layups or threes. That's yeah. all it yeah, is. There's it. No mid-range. And I was a mid-range master. I love the mid-range.
Still are today.
And it's sad to see it go. You know, it changes the whole game. It's crazy. But it's fun to watch Steph Curry do it because he is better than possibly anyone in the entire world.
Yeah.
So.
I agree.
Speaking of Steph Curry.
What did he say?
What did he say?
Oh. There is
got one. A little something for you guys today. Steph Curry hit 16 three-pointers in the All-Star game. He became the All-Star leader in three-pointers in All-Star game history. Whose record did he break?
Wow.
Are we saying right now, or are we waiting? Are we traditionalizing it?
We'll traditionalize it. We'll bring it back around.
Cool. I like
loved
it.
Love that. Give us a second.
Yeah. Give us time to pull up Google.
Yeah, exactly.
Said that funny.
So what we're going to do today, we have our quarterback power rankings. All four of us, we did our top 36 quarterbacks individually, and then basically I took all of our results and I averaged them out into a collective group power rankings. So we'll go through our QB power rankings to pretty much end the NFL season for us as we slowly transition into other things, such as golf and March Madness coming up, NBA, MLB, you know, little things like that. So we'll pretty much kick off the or conclude the year with something a little bit more fun, like the power rankings. So what we'll do a top 10 group, top 20, top 30, and then we'll round out with the bottom six.
And just so we're clear, this is how we thought, you know, after the 2021,
yes,
2022 season, how they fared.
Yep. All right, so let's go ahead and jump into the top 10 quarterbacks. I'll start from one. I'll go all the way down to 10, and we can kind of talk about each grouping. For the Luck Changers podcast, top 10 quarterbacks. Number one, we had Tom Brady from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Number two, Aaron Rodgers, Green Bay Packers. Number three was Patrick Mahomes from the Kansas City Chiefs. Number four, we had Joe Burrow from the Cincinnati Bengals. Five, Josh Allen, Buffalo Bills. Number six, we had Tone's guy, Justin Herbert from the LA Chargers. Number seven, we had the Super Bowl champ, Matt Stafford, LA Rams. Eight, we have Dak Prescott coming back from that injury last year from the Dallas Cowboys. Number nine, we have Kyler Murray from the Arizona Cardinals. And concluding the top 10, we have Derek Carr from the Las Vegas Raiders. What do you guys think about our top 10?
Okay, so I think I may have influenced the Joe Burrow pick a little higher than intended. I had him at number three as my top 10.
Yeah.
Just we made this list after this playoff run. We had made a list prior to, I think, a few playoff weeks, but then we had remodified it, and I readjusted. And with the offensive line he had, I had put him up to three, and I had Josh Allen pretty low. I think that's why he fell to fifth.
Yeah. I was a little bit on the fence about that one myself personally, but, hey, we all have our own opinions.
Yeah.
I can't be mad about it. So here's what I think is interesting. Tom is clearly the GOAT. He is the greatest of all time as far as quarterbacks go. So he's at one. Two, Rodgers is pretty much locked up as far as the best overall quarterback. And then Patrick Mahomes, 3. He is clearly the next in line. So the part that I thought interesting was you have 3 guys. You have Burrow, Allen, and Herbert. You can put them in any order, but they're the next 3 as far as behind Patrick Mahomes. So I was kind of curious to see how that played out. Personally, for those 3 guys, I'm taking Josh Allen over Burrow or Herbert. Tone, I know you're a Herbert guy. Nate, you like Burrow. So, I mean, I kind of thought that was an interesting take, but...
I do like Justin Herbert a lot, but this past year, I'm absolutely taking Josh Allen over him. And I'm taking Josh Allen over Joe Burrow as well. That's a tough lie for Joe Burrow at 4. I think he's fantastic, though. I think eventually he will be 1 and 2. Maybe him and Herbert and Allen are 1, 2, and 3 for many years. But I like our top 10 overall. The playoffs kind of solidified certain positions for people. Mm-hmm. Tom had such a great regular season. It's hard. We couldn't put him, not at number 1. Plus, he retired, right. So it was hard not to take him there. He threw for 43 touchdowns. He led the league in passing yards. It was a truly great performance to see him go out with.
And it's not like he went out bad. He had that big win against the Eagles in the playoffs, and he almost had that big comeback win against the Super Bowl champs now today. So I think he's an easy one. But one more thing about Joe Burrow. I just, based off the circumstances of this season, I wasn't putting my list on future years because I won't take Josh Allen. But we went over the season. He was one of the most sacked quarterbacks in the league, one of the worst offensive lines. He's coming off an ACL. Their over-under win total was, 5 or 6?
Yeah.
And they make it to the Super Bowl. So I was just a little defending myself.
For sure. When you put it like that, it makes a lot of sense.
Right.
I mean, he threw for 450 yards, 500 yards, another game.
Something else.
So what's interesting about this list, Tom Brady is 1. As it stands, he's announced he's retiring. Whether he returns or not, it's to be seen. 2, Aaron Rodgers, his future is uncertain. He may come back to the Packers. He may go elsewhere. He may also be retired. We don't really know for sure yet. Sounds like he's going to come back. So we have, at least for now, 1 of the top 10 spots open as Tom has announced he's gone. So when you're looking at our top 10 list, is there who do you guys feel next year will replace in the top 10? I'm not saying take over as 1. I'm just meaning fill in as a top 10 replacement.
I think it's hard to say. One thing I do want to say, I think our list is wild that we have Russell Wilson and Lamar out of the top 10. Not saying that's not justified, but it's just interesting to think about how Derek Carr and Dak and Matt snuck in there. But for me, I think after next year, I don't know. It's hard to – I don't want to give up on Lamar Jackson if he's healthy. So
okay.
I would say he would make it in the top 10.
Yeah, I think, again, we kind of went off how it went this year, and Lamar did get hurt, so I'm sure he went down a couple notches. But depending on where Russell Wilson goes, I could see him going back into the top 10, or even Mac Jones. At his awesome rookie season, coming back, who knows?
Now, is there anyone in our top 10 list that we have collectively that you guys feel, either of you guys feel like they should not be a top 10 quarterback?
I'm going to say Kyler Murray right now. We don't know where his head's at right now and where he's going to end up going. And he just doesn't get it done in the playoffs.
I agree. He's a certain body type. He looks like a child out there.
He looks like Dakota.
He really looks like a kid.
Oh.
I meant against like the other NFL players. He looks like a little kid out there running around. And that was awesome. It was fantastic. But then he got hurt. And if you take away that ability, he's... Yeah. Short, and he's a solid passer, but it's not it. So the older he gets, if he keeps getting hurt, and who knows mentally where he's at, I think he could easily slip down even further.
Yeah,
but definitely on top 10.
I think he was a little overvalued on our list given the start of his regular season. It was a really hot start, and that playoff game was just so bad. He looked awful. So I would agree with you guys on Kyler Murray. I'm a little bit on the fence about Derek Carr. I'm not a huge believer in Carr. We'll see. I thought Matt Stafford was interesting. We have him at 7. If he would not have been traded to the Rams this year, if he would have stayed in Detroit, or maybe went to a different team, I'm kind of curious to see where we would have had him on our list. But he did win the Super Bowl this year. He did have a really nice season. So I'm kind of curious to see next year if he climbs up our list when we do this next year, or if he falls back into the outside of top 10, basically. So, all right. So let's move on to our top 20 group. As you said, Russell Wilson was not in the top 10, but he is 11. We have Russell Wilson for the Seattle Seahawks at 11. Nate, we have your guy, Kirk Cousins, Minnesota Vikings, mm-hmm. to be seen if he will be back next year.
Oh, yeah.
We have Lamar Jackson at 13 for the Baltimore Ravens. Mac Jones at 14 with the Patriots. We have Gary's guy, Jalen Hurts from the Philadelphia Eagles at 15. And we have Carson Wentz from the Indianapolis Colts at 16. 17, we have Jimmy G, San Francisco 49ers. 18, Ryan Tannehill, Tennessee Titans. 19, we have Matt Ryan from the Atlanta Falcons. And rounding out our top 20, Ben Roethlisberger from the Pittsburgh Steelers. Thoughts on this grouping?
I think Ben really kind of... He won some people over towards the end of the season because it was bad there for a while. I think he definitely would have been down the list if we were taking the same pool maybe midway through the year. But, you know, like I said, I had Russell and Lamar rounding out my top 10 on my list personally. I had other guys like Jameis Winston sneak in the top 20 because I know he got hurt, but when he was mm-hmm. playing, I felt like he was having a pretty solid line, you know, a pretty solid year, stat lines, et cetera. I had Matt Ryan way further down my list. Had him at 25. But maybe that's just a little biased there. Overall, I think these are all mid-tier quarterbacks that most teams would be at least happy enough to have compared to the bottom guys. But it's interesting. What about you, Nate?
Yeah, I'm with you on Matt Ryan. I did have him a little higher, but, man, it's tough looking at the quarterbacks behind him. Once we get into him, you'll kind of realize. But I guess I have to talk about my guy, Kirk Cousins. He's on there. He's at 12. I had him at 10. I think coming into this year, especially if Aaron Rodgers leaves the North,
mm-hmm.
just the impact that's going to have not only on the Vikings, but Kirk Cousins himself. You look at the first team in the NFC North. Oh, the Minnesota Vikings. Who's that quarterback? Kirk Cousins. Especially when we end up getting Jarvis Landry. Excuse me, Froggy. And throw him in the slot with Adam Thielen and Jay Jetta. Dalvin Cooks did promise on TMZ Sports that him and Justin Jefferson, they're going to get the Vikings a Super Bowl. Never won one. Made it to the NFC Championship a few times. But, I mean, that I've seen. 0-4 in Super Bowl history. I think Kirk Cousins is going to get himself one. You like that?
You like that? Yeah, I... Looking at our list, I would replace Murray with Wilson. I would replace Carr with Cousins. I really like Cousins. I think he's criminally underrated.
Thank you.
Would love to have him in Cleveland.
Quit saying that.
Maybe he'll be in the brown and orange this upcoming season. We'll see. He's a really... Russell Wilson and Kirk Cousins are the two best game managers in the NFL. And I feel like that's why they don't get enough respect, is because they're not going to break records. But they're going to have nice stats. They don't turn the ball over for the most part, and they win games. If they lose games, it's not on them, basically. That's what I like about those two.
Good point.
I felt like Matt Ryan was also criminally underrated, personally. Our guy Nate completely forgot about him on our first go-around. And I feel like he should be higher than 19, personally. When I see Tannehill, Jimmy G, Carson Wentz, above him.
I did have him at 16, so I kind of was with you.
Yeah, I mean, I would even take him over Jalen Hurts. But, again, he's just a solid guy.
Yeah, that Calvin Ridley situation kind of. Yeah. I mean, all he had was a rookie in Kyle Pitts. No running game. I mean, ooh.
Yeah. So, I think he deserves a little bit more respect. We got Jimmy G in there at 17. He had them pretty far in the playoffs. I'm thinking we're probably expecting him to be elsewhere. I don't think he returns to San Francisco.
I think he's going to be wearing that brown and white, or brown and orange that you're saying. Jimmy G in Cleveland.
Carson Wentz for the Colts. He was on a 1-year deal. We'll see if he comes back to Indianapolis or not.
Yikes.
That's going to be a tough one.
Prayers to our Colts fans.
I thought he was solid. What do you mean? I thought Carson Wentz was very respectable this year.
I mean, he was decent.
He had Jonathan Taylor to open up the running game. And
well, yeah, that
Michael
that's,
Pittman.
That helps.
And I feel like he was very respectable. He's right where he needs to be, right in the middle.
The one I thought was interesting was Jalen Hurts at 15. So we got him pretty much in the middle as far as quarterbacks go. And, you know, everyone knows my guy Gary loves the Eagles, hates Jalen Hurts. Mm. Hates him. So when he listens to this and hears that he's 15, he's going to ask how. But what do you guys think about Jalen Hurts? You guys both like him for the most part, right?
Like fantasy-wise, he's solid because he runs. And
yeah.
I don't know if he's going to get it done in the long run. He is versatile with the running and the passing, but I don't know. I can understand Gary not liking him. But he is very solid, though. Yeah,
they made it to the playoffs. I think got to say something about it. He made it over a lot of better quarterbacks, I'd say.
Right.
I mean, their receivers aren't very good.
Neither are the running backs, really.
Right, yeah, that's what I'm saying. So they had to do something. So
I don't think he's bad. I think he tries to, like, take over the game by himself a lot.
Right.
That's why I just don't know how going forward. I think he could have a lot of potential, though, but
maybe
I can understand.
The young man mentality in him. And no, right. I agree.
Okay, so before we move on to the top 30 quarterbacks, we have Mac Jones in there at 14 for the Patriots. He was our first rookie on the list. So when you look at this draft class coming up, it's not the most impressive class. Do you guys see any quarterbacks getting drafted this year who could follow suit with Mac Jones and be in our top 20 this time next year?
I think this could be the worst quarterback draft since 2013?
I got nothing. Yeah,
it's sad.
Okay, well, fair enough. All right, let's jump to our top 30 quarterbacks. So pretty much round out our starting quarterbacks minus the final two. We have 21, Tua Tagovailoa, Miami Dolphins. 22, Teddy Bridgewater, Denver Broncos. 23, Jameis Winston, New Orleans Saints. 24, Baker Mayfield with the Cleveland Browns. 25, Daniel Jones, New York Giants. 26, Taylor Heinicke with the Washington Commanders. 27, Justin Fields, Chicago Bears. 28, Davis Mills, Houston Texans. 29, Godspeed to Jared Goff, Detroit Lions. And at number 30, we have Trevor Lawrence, number one pick for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Thoughts on this grouping?
It seems more or less appropriate. I do think that Baker Mayfield was hurt all season. I still want to believe in him. I would like to think he'll move back into the top 20s. If he comes back, he's able to play healthy. I don't know. Taylor Heinicke's tough, but it's hard to say. Justin Fields I liked a lot. I think he shows a lot of potential. Davis Mills as well. I mean, considering what he had, the weapons around him, he definitely gave it all he had. So I think those guys are respectable. Like I said, I had Jameis in the top 20. I know he got hurt, but I just thought he was solid. And I don't hate Tua. I know not everyone likes him. I don't love him, but I do feel like he's in a pretty appropriate spot.
Tua stinks.
I don't love him, but
Lovie Smith, did end up saying sorry that Davis Mills was his guy. So I think he played just fine. He didn't expect to go in there and play as much as he did, and he held decent. I love that we have Trevor Lawrence down at 30, because I won't even mention what I had to say in my pre-draft analysis about him. But he's got a new head coach. Who knows what can go on? But Tua stinks. I had him down way further. I'm excited to see what Baker Mayfield does, especially, or Justin Fields even in that NFC North that could be wide open. So. Not too much to say about these bottom guys, but who knows? In the future, they might make their way up the list.
I thought Matt Ryan was extremely underrated. I think we have Teddy Bridgewater extremely overrated. He is not 22. He should be in the 30s. I feel like he's not good. Not good. Tua is way too high on our list. He should be down there with Teddy.
Stinks.
He's not good. Jameis is interesting because I felt like he was on pace to be a top 20 quarterback. Then Absolutely he was. Got that injury.
Top 15.
It's a really nice system that he's in. It's perfect for him. He got to sit behind Drew Brees for a year. So it was looking really good for him. That stinks. We'll see what he does. So Jameis and Baker are right there, 23-24. Both were hurt. Kind of interested to see how those two do. Daniel Jones, I got to believe it's his last year to really do something.
Right. He was hurt too, though.
Yeah.
Really solid fantasy quarterback. Like you were saying, he runs the ball when he's healthy. Heinicke, that's an interesting one because Fitzpatrick is probably going to be coming back next year. Kind of curious to see if Fitzpatrick takes back over. Is it Heinicke's team now? Not sure. But the person that you got to feel so bad for is Jared Goff.
Mm-hmm.
Hate to see it, man.
You really do.
Gets drafted first overall. Gets the Super Bowl with the Rams. Doesn't play out in his favor. They throw him to Detroit, where that's the last place you want to go.
Mm-hmm.
In exchange for the guy that takes your team to the Super Bowl and wins it. That was just a big yikes. Hate to see it. We have him all the way down there at 29. I think that's fair, though. It's an acceptable place. And like you said, Trevor Lawrence at 30. I like to see what he can do with like a somewhat fundamental system. I feel like he didn't really have a chance with Urban and all the BS going on behind the scenes. So we'll see. I think he'll definitely be in the... When we do this next year, he won't be at 30. He'll be higher than that. I got to believe that. Where you guys think he'll fall next year?
I don't know.
Top 25?
Oh.
Maybe top 20. It's just hard to say. What's going to happen when they get ETN back? I don't know. I just don't know. Their wide receiver core has a lot of solid guys, but then other guys are underwhelming at times. New coaching staff. I want to still believe in Trevor Lawrence. I don't want to call him a bust like our fearless leader, Nate, but we'll see. Top 25 is more than fair.
All right. So for Browns fans, this is a game that we always play every Sunday when we watch the Browns play. Oh, I would take him over Baker. I would take him over Baker. So you're looking at this list. We have Baker at 24. Are there any guys underneath Baker that you would take over Baker?
I am not going to be biased and take Justin Fields, so I'm going to say no, because I think when Baker comes back and is healthy, he's going to be solid again.
Okay.
I think Justin Fields. I can't really be biased. I know Ohio State guy, but ended up he's playing for Vikings rival, so not a huge fan of him, but I am a huge fan of him. So I think him and Cleveland, that'd be a really cool fit.
All right. Lastly, we did top 36. So we have a couple extra guys here, and I will tell you who those guys are. Get your guys' thoughts on the extras, as I called them. 31, we have Tyrod Taylor, Houston Texans. 32, Tyler Huntley, Baltimore Ravens. 33, Zach Wilson, New York Jets. 34, Andy Dalton with the Chicago Bears. 35, Taysom Hill with the New Orleans Saints. And lastly, 36, Trey Lance, San Francisco 49ers. What do you guys think about the extras?
I don't know why I had us do 36 quarterbacks. That was a silly
interesting
suggestion.
Move. Yeah, it was weird.
I have no feelings for these guys. Maybe Zach Wilson, not good feelings, just their feelings.
I think he should be at the bottom of the list, personally. Yeah. I think he's bad. Tyler Huntley kind of showed the system that the Ravens had because he was plugged in and did pretty solid, to be honest. Tyrod was always solid, but this year he was just fine.
Just unlucky, yeah. I think, in his career so far. He's just been super unlucky.
I'm surprised Taysom Hill is not in front of Zach Wilson, but these are all the bottom of the barrel. Shout out to all these guys.
But not really.
Good luck, Trey Lance. You know, hopefully things work out. Maybe if Jimmy G leaves. Not if Aaron Rodgers comes in, but
I am
we'll
kind of rooting for Trey Lance. I would like to see him do well in that Niners. I like Kyle Shanahan. So,
yeah, the one person that I would say really stood out to me in this group
is it Kyle Shanahan or is that his dad? Who's coaching for the Niners?
Yeah, yep, Kyle Shanahan.
Okay,
yep.
My bad. Sorry.
I'd say the one player that stood out to me was Tyler Huntley for the Ravens. dude was pretty solid in the system, but I also feel like it kind of takes away from Lamar sometimes, because I feel like you plugged Huntley in and it was the same deal. I thought he did just as well as Lamar. So shout out to Baltimore. I feel like they're the best team in the NFL as far as fitting their system to match their players. I feel like a lot of teams don't do that, but they're the best at it. So
they lost three running backs to start the year. They lost Lamar. That was a rough year.
Yeah. Yeah, so solid. Out of the extras, that's the one guy that I would personally pick to be on my team if I could. The rest of the guys, I could go without. So, all right.
All right. Well, and with that, RIP to the 2021-2022 NFL season.
That's it.
And that, I think that's all I'm sure we're going to have way too early predictions, this
we'll,
and that.
We'll
but
do draft stuff. Yeah. But it's done.
It's not a goodbye. It's a see you later.
It was a great year. I mean, we met our goals. Bye. If you're listening to the show, hopefully you made out because of it. I mean, I'm proud of us, but we'll get ready for next season. Transition to golf, NBA, and March Madness.
Definitely.
Yeah. UFC, super excited. We'll see.
Yeah, so we got a lot of different sports to contend with until football comes back around. But I feel like last year we really found our groove when we started doing PGA. I know it's not everyone's favorite. I know it's not the most exciting. But you know what? We really just found our niche with PGA. We got a little bit of relationship with 1899 Golf last year. So I'm excited to see if we can pick back up where we left off and get back into our DKs. But before we do our DKs, what I wanted to do, we're talking power rankings. Let's go over your guys' top five PGA golf power rankings before we get into DKs. So, Nate, let's start with you. As far as top five power rankings for your golfers, 1 to 5, who do you have at number one?
Yeah, at number one right now, I have the Olympic gold medalist, Xander Schauffele. Is going to be my number one guy, especially this year. I think he's really going to just light it up, and I think he's going to end up the world number one.
Very nice. I still got to go with Jon Rahm. I know he hasn't been playing maybe quite as good lately, but he's fantastic. So for me, he's still going to be my number one golfer.
Cool. It just goes back to me, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so for number two, I have a guy who always seems to be battling, even in the top tens. One of the favorites on tour, one of the famous favorite personalities on tour is Justin Thomas. I think he's going to finish up at the world's number two.
Very nice. I got Colin Morikawa at my number two. I know you like him, so I'm sure you'd appreciate that.
Interesting, because at number three, I'm going to somewhat look that in. I have Colin Morikawa.
Very nice.
My guy.
At my third guy, I have Patrick Cantlay.
I like that.
I feel like he's just solid, gets the job done. He's low-key, but he's a good golfer, so
finished last year number one.
Yeah.
Yep. For my number four, I have the Norwegian. Oh, please, I hope he's Norwegian. Victor Hovland.
With my next pick, I'm going to go with Cam Smith.
I love
that. He's a number four golfer. He's my Aussie. I've really liked him for the last couple of years, and he's really coming into his own. He has a good time, and I feel like he can compete with anyone, so I'll take him with my number four guy.
I would not be surprised if he finished out as number one golfer. It's so unbelievable. This guy's iron games, his approach game into the green, I've never seen that in my life. My guy places this right by the pin all the time. It's really fun to watch. He's definitely in my top 10 if we were to expand this list. But for number five, I have maybe recency bias, but he's one of my favorite golfers on tour right now. He's only 23 years old. He just won. I got Joaquin Niemann. He's cool under pressure. He gets it done. He was 19 under a course record in the first three rounds over the weekend. So I think with that win, he's going to solidify himself into the top five.
With my fifth guy, we'll luck it in, Victor Hovland.
The Norwegian.
Yeah, very tough.
All right. Interesting top five. We'll see how that plays out as the year goes.
What do you mean interesting?
Interesting.
No Tony Finau.
No Tony. You don't have Jon Rahm in your top five. Very interesting.
I do.
Very interesting.
Well, we'll just watch.
But we'll see.
Also, keep an eye out for Tiger. He said he was going to play some events.
Yeah, Tiger's looking like he's going to be back.
It'll be fun to watch.
It's very exciting. Very exciting. So this week we have the Honda Classic, which is at the PGA National Resort and Spa. It's at Palm Beach Gardens, Florida. The defending champ, Matt Jones. And the purse for the Honda Classic is $8 million. So what we'll do, round out this episode, now that we got your guys' power rankings, let's go ahead and do a DraftKings for the Honda Classic.
They're back, baby. The PGA DKs. And Tone, I'm going to let you get this started. But real quick, do you want to run down what we're going to be doing? Not this week, obviously, but kind of what we're going to be doing by week to week with these DraftKings and kind of just these PGA Tour events.
Yeah, so we'll kind of get our listeners primed. So, you know, there are going to be some weeks where we exclusively do golf. And we always do a golf DraftKings pretty much. But we also want to add in a couple other things such as, well, maybe me and Nate, maybe even AJ if you'd like to. We will do top 20, top 10, top 5. Keep track of it, of course. Kind of keep our receipts and see what we can come up with. So we want to give you a little more content, a couple more picks. Some people like to place those placement type of bets on these instead of DraftKings, and I think it's something we like to do too. So I think we're going to expand to that this year and change up our golf format a little bit.
And I think we're going to go by the unit system as well, kind of like what we did with the NFL and the odds. So I love that idea. It's going to be something fun to keep an eye out for, watch throughout the weekend. It's if you haven't gotten to the golf now, I mean, it's something I highly suggest because it's 4 days of just pure excitement. I know it's not really fast-paced sport, but if you've been golfing literally ever, you would really appreciate watching golf. So, with DraftKings being said, Tone, who's your top heavy guy?
All right, so this is a really tough week. So, the Honda Classic it's a challenging course. There's probably not going to be a lot of high scores. It's going to be more accuracy focused. So, the long drive, guys like Bryson, not that he's playing, you know, but those really long guys don't really matter as much. We want precision here. They're playing on Bermuda grass. It's just something to keep in mind. So when I created my team, I wanted to keep those factors in mind, and we'll see how they do. I didn't take any top heavy guys, to be honest. It's more evenly keeled
classic
across my team. And my first guy is Shane Lowry. He's 9.4K. Nice. I think he has a ton of potential to make a top 10 appearance, compete. And I'll take him with my first guy, 9.4.
Yeah, the way you were describing it, I thought for sure you were going with Louis. All you need is precision. You got Louis, who's the most precise. But I also don't have Louis, which is weird. But with my top pick, I got one of the favorites in the tournament right now at 10.4K. I got Daniel Berger. He's only played in four events, but he's got two top 10s already. So I think he's a shoo-in to get a top 10. I'll spend my money on him. I found some value down towards the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah, I wanted to put him and Louis into my lineup. Mm-hmm. I didn't do it, but I think we'll see. As long as they're both healthy, they could definitely be solid. With my second pick, I'm going to go with Mito Pereira. He's 8.9K. This guy just has a lot of potential. He's had really fantastic finishes, especially on Bermuda. He finished 15, 25, 29, 29 over his last six starts. He just knows how to bring it. He's accurate with his irons. It's the kind of guy you want on this type of course. So I'll take Mito for 8.9K.
Yeah, I watched a lot of him over this last weekend. He finished, what was that, 15th? That was this last weekend, right? He had a couple crazy hole outs. He was on fire, so I think he does carry that in. I love that pick. He's actually on my secondary DK. So with my second pick, I have kind of a guy who Tone was describing off the rip, just a precise ball striker. I got Brian Harman. He's made 7 of his 9 cuts. He's been playing a lot, and he's only 8,700. So I did go top heavy, but I did kind of even it out here towards the rest of my team.
We'll luck that in. I also took Brian Harman. It's rare to have luck at ends in these DKs because there's so many guys with so many different price ranges. But again, he's accurate. He's making most of his cuts, and he could definitely make a top 10 and compete to win this thing. So I'll take Brian for 8.7K.
Right on. So with my third golfer, I taking one of the hottest golfers to end the season last year. He was, I'm pretty sure he won one event and he found himself in a few top 10s, but this year he's already in two top 10s, seven of his nine cuts. I got Mackenzie Hughes. He's 8,300, and that Canadian can play. Do we need to check that nationality again?
I think you got that one right. You're good.
I'm on fire.
With my next guy, I'll take Christian Bazadenhout. He's... No,
you got it.
You got it.
Well, all right, cool. Anyways, he's 8K. So he's made most of his cuts this year, and he's really coming into his own. Again, on this kind of course, this Bermuda grass is best putting. I think he can be accurate enough to keep it close and compete. So I'll take him for 8K.
I don't know if I mentioned Mackenzie Hughes was 8,300. I don't know if I mentioned that or not. I'm only saying that because we got two lucky ins. I got Christian Bazadenhout. He was he found himself on a lot of my DKs last year. He finds himself making the cut. I think he was on my 1899 roster that ended up getting us a win. It was a really good win for us as a podcast, and I think we did a really good job with that win. So I'm going to look that in with Christian Bazadenhout.
Very nice. Okay, for my fifth guy, I'm going to take a guy who's making his first PGA start, and he's a stud. He's a stud over in Europe, Nicolai Højgaard. He's a beast. He's a Denmark guy. I think he's going to come in. He means business. He's serious. He has a ton of potential, but no one's seen him because, again, this is his first PGA start, but he's 7.6K. You can tell just by his salary that he's serious, so I'll take him with my fifth golfer.
Yeah, with my fifth golfer, it's a bit more of a recognizable name. He's only made half his cuts, but he's out there playing a lot, and he's one of the bigger names on tour despite his play over the last few years. Unfortunately, I believe he missed a playoff last year, and that's Ricky Fowler. He's only 7,600, and I mean, he's one of my favorites out there. I love his group of guys, him, JT, Spieth. I love that group of golfers right there, and I think they're really just showing that this – game of golf can really be fun for the youth, and even myself, I'm maybe 4 or 5 years into the game, so I'm still a novice, I like to say, but man, this is the greatest game in the world.
Yeah, I agree. It's fun to see those guys that are just lighthearted off the field, you know, off the course. Mm-hmm. Even when they're playing, they're having a good time, so you love to see that. With my sixth guy, I'm going to take Aaron Rye, 7.4K. Again, this type of course is going to meet his needs, and I think he can compete. He's a low-key name, but again, on this course, I think he has a ton of potential, so I'll take him for 7.4K.
Yeah, and I think also in events like the Honda Classic, you're going to see a lot of these lower-name guys who make their way up the leaderboard, and I think you can really capitalize on guys like that.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I kind of went more mainstream with my last pick. He's only 7,000, but he was really starting to just golf really well there towards the end of the year. And I got Kevin Streelman at 7,000 to round out my team. He's made six of his 10 cuts. He's played almost every event there has been. So no top 10s, but I think he breaks that streak coming this weekend.
Very nice.
Well, right on. And I think that does it there for our first 2022 PGA discussion there. And we got our DraftKings. Next week, like Tone was saying, we'll do our top 20s, top 10s, top 5s, another DK, and we'll just kind of keep track of it. This is kind of like a light pilot entry thing that me and Tone will just keep an eye out together just for fun. But if you like our picks, go ahead and write our picks. I think we are both in going to win some money. So, boys, what else? Is that anything else?
If you like golf and you have an Oculus, feel free to hit us up so you can get into our golf league online virtually. So yeah, it was a good time. We play on the weekends. I enjoy that. It's been fun.
Very true. And we are about to start our very first team event coming up, so it changes week in and week out. It's completely on the group. The group votes on everything, and we make it as fair as we can, and it is fun to get on there, play with the homies. And yeah, if you're looking to join, go ahead, ask for the group me. You can get in and hop in our tournaments. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and PGA DraftKings might not sound exciting, but if you were in our NFL DraftKings, hit us up. Stay strong. Do the PGA DraftKings with us. It's a good time. Good chance to win some cash. So I highly recommend both of those options. But that's pretty much it. We just have one last thing to wrap up before we close.
What did he say?
Yes, what did he say? So, I got a question for you guys here. The other night, Steph Curry hit 16 three-pointers in one game, and he became the all-time, all-star three-point leader, three-point shots made. And the question was, whose record did he break? We did get one reaction on Facebook from our guy Greg.
Okay, I'm sure you got it right.
But before I give you guys his answer, let me get your guys's.
I think I'm just going to – I wanted to pick someone older, but I feel like they weren't taking that many threes 15 years ago. So I'm going to try to take a guy that's within the last 5 to 10 years. I'm going to take Kevin Durant. I don't know. I feel like he could chuck up a bunch of threes. I don't think that's the right answer at all, but I'm going to take him.
I remember this dude going off and hitting all these threes, and he wasn't a starter, I don't think, and his name it completely slips my mind, and I know that's who it is, so I'm just going to guess the wrong answer, I guess, and I'm going to say Anthony Davis because he scored 52 points in one game. That's about all I got.
Okay. Greg said Ray Allen, which is incorrect.
Yeah, I didn't think it would be him.
Answer is James Harden.
Oh, okay. No, that's nice. Not who I was thinking.
Very nice.
Yeah. Well.
Got us. Does that count? Are we down one?
Yeah, it was just for fun.
Was it, though? I mean, we could start this whole new season right now. Listen, we robbed one from DSA there on the NFL. Why don't you just throw it 1-0? We'll just keep it running. What did you say?
I'm okay with that.
Season 2.
All right. Let's get it.
Fair enough.
Cool. So, I think that's about it, boys, right?
That'll do it.
Right on. So, if you haven't yet, go ahead, check us out on all of our social media platforms. We're on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter. We have an email. You can check us out on all those at Luck Changers Podcasts, Luck Changers on Twitter, and luckchangerspodcast@gmail.com. If you have any questions about a line is, what a spread is, what an over-under means, if you need any DK help, or you're even wondering how to get into a DraftKings, go ahead, hit us up. Like AJ said, if you want to get in our golf league, obviously hit our DMs. We'll always throw you on the show if you're reaching out to us. We love the interaction. We appreciate you guys for listening. So for your host, Nate, co-host Tone, editor DSA, and moderator AJ, we are the Luck Changers, and we are out.
Adios.
Moderator out.
Peace. I'm out of here.